We had this kind of phase where we weren't playing as much music, and we were kind of in separate projects at the time, actually, more so than Fontaines. And what was bonding us together as people was our love of poetry. We weren't really the types because we were quite introverted and still are mostly, most of us are still quite introverted. So we weren't the types to, like, bust out the guitar at the pub or, stand up on the bar and start singing or something like that. But we were the type to sit in the corner and chat passionately with a book in our hands and share this book with each other. And there was a phase where we'd be coming in and we'd be taking our book out of our jacket pocket and giving it to each other. And a dog-eared copy would be doing the rounds between us. And it was a really moving time because I think that, like, I don't know, it's a thing for a lot of people, but I think especially for young men, sharing these kind of emotions is actually quite hard. Sharing poetry with another dude in the pub can be kind of a scary concept sometimes, because there's even like to keep pushing it, because when you're exploring these things together and you might come back with E.E. Cummings, you're like, can I really share, no one, not even the rain, had such small hands. Can I share that line with my bro, and we both feel it the same way. And like creating that shared space of understanding where we explain, honestly, why these poems or these lines mean something to us, even from the narrative of our own lives, and sharing those experiences that influenced it, was a really beautiful opening of a door of honesty and emotional of emotional awareness with each other. The creation of that as a space was the foundation of us being in a band, because we could then bring that energy into a rehearsal room together and know each other on a better level. That could help us predict the parts that we were going to play or what the songs needed to do. And there was an implicit trust there because there was so much bonding done.
I mean, poetry and literature in general is such a special tool to be able to break down those boundaries and be able to be vulnerable with our friends. Yeah, you're just speaking my language. I actually just watched your interview on, I think it was Turn TV, and you talked about the book Stoner by John Williams. Is there anything that you're reading or looking forward to reading, especially now that you've got like a tour coming up again?
Oh yeah, where did I put it though? It was around here somewhere. Hold on. It was called like a Simple Man. It was around here somewhere. All right, I couldn't find the book I was looking for, so I just brought back different ones. I'm going to go back and read this book by my friend, Land Sickness, Nikolai Schulz. It's just a story in his life in Paris, but it uses it to discuss his ideas. He's a sociologist, about climate change and the impact on our mental health and on a sociological level of anxiety. And it was really cool. So I'm going to go back and read it again because it's quite tricky to get my head around, to be honest. Then I have this, Raymond Carver Shortcuts, because I really love that book by him, What We Talk About When We Talk About Love. That's a great one. So I got that as well to read. And then this other one, The World of Yesterday by Stefan Zweig. This is actually the memoirs of of a guy, Stefan Zweig, who's a sociologist. And it's talking about like pre-war Europe, like pre-World War II Europe, or pre-World War I Europe, and how exciting it felt, and how like it seems like everything's going to go in a particular direction, and how much the war disrupted that. And it's apparently absolutely amazing, and it can be like really relevant to today. So I actually picked that up, but yeah, I don't know too much about it. But if you're actually asking me what I plan on reading, that's it.
No, I genuinely am. To kind of bring it back, Boys in the Better Land mentions James Joyce and Starvester mentions Salinger. Who do you prefer? That's a hard question.
It's a kind of a tricky question, yeah, but I would prefer Joyce, to be honest, because I'm actually so proud of him because he's Irish. And I think that I've tried to crack into Joyce a few times, as in like Ulysses or Finnegan's Wake or something, and I've been obviously perplexed. I've gotten a few hundred pages into Ulysses like three or four times in my life.
Yeah, it's one of those, hey. It's all set on my birthday.
16th of June.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm 17th of June. I wanted your birthday for years, to be honest, to have a birthday as my birthday, but maybe it's not the way it's supposed to be. That book, I think that once it gets to that chapter where Leopold Bloom takes back over, and he's kind of walking down the street, and he sees this horse with the hay on the back of the cart or something. It just takes off in difficulty there. It just ramps up. It's like page 150. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? But the part before that, where Stephen Dedalus is walking on the beach, and he's thinking about his life, and or even his when he's in the classroom with his student, And he's like, the student is really bad at maths, and he just t starts thinking about how privileged this kid is and how like his mother obviously overmothers him and stuff because he can't do his maths, which is like Stephen Dedalus is being such a dick, right? And it's like this poor kid is just struggling, and his maths teacher is judging him so harshly. But he starts thinking about his own mother and his own mother's death, and he's like thinking about his regrets over that. And there's this line where he's like, secrets in our hearts, weary of their tyranny, willing themselves to be dethroned. There's lines like that that makes me stick with him. They're so profound, you know. It's like it's almost it's like having an Irish version of Tolstoy, this like moral compass that's so fucking pure and direct. It's really inspiring.
So you start kicking when the room is spinning and the words aren't sticking. And the radio's on a better runaway model with a face like sin and a heart like a James Joyce novel. Saying sister, sister, how I missed you, missed you. Let's go wrist to wrist and take the skin off of a blister. If you're a rock star, porn star, superstar, doesn't matter what you are, get yourself a good car, get out of here. Well, put the boys in the better land. You're always talking about the boys in the better land. The boys in the better land. Put the boys in the better land. You're always talking about the boys in the better land. The boys in the better land. Driver's got names to fill two double barrels. He spits out, breathes out, only smokes carols. And he's refreshing the world in mind, body and spirit. Mind, body and spirit. You better hear it and fear it. Ah, oh, that's the spirit. Saying sister, sister, how I missed you, missed you. Let's go wrist to wrist and take the skin off of a blister. If you're a rock star, porn star, superstar, doesn't matter what you are, get yourself a good car, get out of here. Yeah. Put the boys in the better land. You're always talking about the boys in the better land. The boys in the better land. But the boys in the better land. You're always talking about the boys in the better land. The boys in the better land. Got names to fill two double barrels. He spits out, breathes out, only smokes carols. And he's refreshing the world in mind, body and spirit. Mind, body and spirit. You better hear it and fear it. Ah, that's the spirit. Saying sister, sister, how I missed you, missed you. Let's go wrist to wrist and take the skin off of a blister. If you're a rock star, porn star, superstar, doesn't matter what you are, get yourself a good car, get out of here. Yeah. Put the boys in the better land. You're always talking about the boys in the better land. The boys in the better land. Put the boys in the better land. You're always talking about those boys in the better land. The boys in a better land.
something to recommend me?
Oh, what have I read that I've really loved recently? Arrangements in Blue is...
Oh.
It's a memoir. I've got quite into memoirs and I've ended up reading a bunch of memoirs of people I've never heard of, which is quite nice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but she uses Joni Mitchell's Blue to kind of navigate her own life experiences. And then, I don't remember what it was, but when you were talking about Stoner in the other interview, it reminded me a lot of, I think it might have been Meg Wolitzer maybe, but another kind of similar thing of someone entering into academia. I do love books with those types of settings and kind of character development that you watch alongside that. And then I've been reading, you're probably so bored of hearing this because you're from Ireland, but I've been reading Sally Rooney recently too.
Oh yeah, she's great though, isn't she?
So good. But I really loved Beautiful World, Where Are You? Because I think what she does, which is so genius, is she tricks you into learning, like she tricks you into caring about her cultural commentary by making you root for characters that are shit.
Deadly. The power of the protagonist role, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Nice one. I think that's what something we do as well, to be honest. But you know, she's actually from the same town. I will stop talking now, but she's from the same town as me and Tom, the drummer.
Oh, no shit. That's so cool. So do you know the areas? Is it like homely?
She changes the names of the places, but there's this like in normal people, there's this like abandoned house they go to. And I know that house for sure. Like,
and so it all comes together.
I recommend you one book before I go if you're into the academic memoir.
Please.
Know this, it's a short book called Letters to D by Andre Gores.
All right, I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a memoir of his love with his wife. Just from the beginning of when they met each other to the end, basically.
Beautiful.
And he's just like writing a letter to her. It's a beautiful, beautiful book.